Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep the special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Amy MC, a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Jen. Hi. Thank you for asking me, Jessica. So my name's Amy MC. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I have been through the process of the 12 steps by using the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and today I live in steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis by the grace of God. So my experience before OA is, I'm a compulsive overeater. I always loved to eat. When I was young, it was the white foods always. I don't know if we can share about food, so I'll just call them the white foods. And, I ate till I was full. I grew up in a very Italian household. We made a lot of homemade pastas, and food was always love. It was always the way that my closest family members expressed their love. Oh, have more, have more, have more. And I grew up not knowing how to eat balanced meals and what is appropriate for my body. Fast forward to high school, the first person I dated, when we started dating, I lost a lot of weight, not because of a specific, well, the specific reason was I wasn't home compulsively overeating anymore. I was like having a life and living, and this person became important to me. And so I wasn't obsessed about the food. Prior to dating, I would come home and make food concoctions and eat them. I won't go into the specifics, but I'm calling them concoctions, and I would eat, kind of in secret, kind of not. I would grab a variety of things that we had in the house and just kind of mix together the stuff and eat it, and then eat dinner or maybe not eat dinner because I was full from everything else. When we started dating, I lost weight. And people were very, friends and family members were very concerned, but the truth was, I wasn't compulsively overeating anymore. When we broke up, the weight came back on, it came back on pretty much instantly because I wasn't, in a relationship anymore. I didn't have this important person that I put first. Moral of this part of the story is I had food as my God growing up, and then I made this person my God. So going on to college, I discovered I grew up in a very small town. So going to away to college, kind of similar behaviors. I was always really picky with my food, and so I didn't eat anything at school. It was very I was very concerned about what to eat at school. I liked my mom's cooking, and that was it. So I didn't eat much like the first semester, and I lost weight. And I remember people being like, "Oh, the freshman 15." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I lost weight." But then when I went back for my second semester, I had discovered the dining common and all the fried food. And so now I was in the food again. And then continuing on through my 4 years of college, I discovered delivery. I didn't have delivery growing up. So it continued to be this pattern of, fats and sugars and carbohydrates. And so after college, or during college, I started actually a lot of exercise bulimia because I also discovered a gym. I didn't have a gym. I wasn't athletic growing up. I did martial arts, but that was the extent of my ability with athletics. And so, it was exercise, overeat, overeat, exercise, back and forth and back and forth. I need some time, buddy. You need to go into your room. And so continued to move down my life path. After college, I didn't know what to do. I graduated with a business degree, and initially I went to school for teaching, for my undergraduate, but I changed my major and I didn't know what to do. So I started working for a retail company that I worked for while I was in high school, and I was living at home, and I was doing a lot of eating, and I even told my dad, and I very specifically remember telling him, "No, you can't touch anything in this cabinet. This cabinet is my food," and having lots of boxes and bags of food that were like, "No, this is mine." My story doesn't carry a lot of weight, literally, but I was very uncomfortable in my skin, wanting a snack. You'll have to wait, or you can go ask Izzy, okay? Well, then you'll have to wait. Okay. So, continuing along the journey. Hold on one moment, please.
Well, I can't right now. I'm in a meeting. So you'll have to wait. You can go watch your show or you can just sit and wait.
After college, there was that whole experience. And then eventually I moved out. And I moved in with some friends and had roommates. And again, at that point, the pattern continued of, ooh, not being in the small town, the world's the limit, you know? Honey, I really need you to go in the other room. It's very important that you listen. Want me to ask Izzy to get you a snack? Okay, give me one moment, folks.
Izzy, Izzy, I need you to get Will a snack, please. I'm on my meeting. You can give him whatever you guys need, okay?
Okay, there we have it. Helps having an 11-year-old when you have a 3-year-old. So, I moved in with roommates. I wasn't living at home anymore, and their food patterns were similar to mine. Go figure, right? Birds of a feather, we flock together. It was a lot of going out to eat, and then it became a lot of drinking as well. And so it was eating and drinking, and I've never been a drinker in the sense of I didn't really like it. But I don't know if you know this. There's sugar in alcohol. I didn't know that. I didn't know that till I was in program. And so gained weight, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight for several years. Went back to school and I started, I was getting my master's in education. So I went back to school, went back into education, and found my way towards my career path. However, I found myself at a bottom with food. So, I don't know about all of you, but this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and so sneaky. I had started seeing a therapist. My parents, when I was 27, got a divorce, and I had moved home. I was living at home, and they were getting a divorce. All sorts of stuff was happening. And so I was seeing a therapist. She was great. And I snuck in at the end of one of my sessions. Oh, yeah. And then, because she was like, oh, it sounds like this is going well, yada, yada. And I snuck in. Well, then I also have this thing with food. And she was like, okay, we'll talk about that next time, right? That next time never came. So I was living alone at this point, and I was binging a lot. A lot of night binging, a lot of just recklessly eating and thinking that that would give me some comfort because it did, right? It numbed me out. I didn't have to feel anything when I was stuffing my face. And the next day, I'd have that hangover of my stomach feeling so crummy. But guess what? I would fix that. I would stop at Walgreens, get a bunch of candy, and I started packing myself a healthy lunch, I was eating healthy. I was going to a pain way, but I was still binging in between meals. So one night I met up with an old family friend, and I consider this to be my bottom. And her family invited me to a hockey game, and I loved hockey. I really wanted to go to the hockey game, but I was nervous about the food. So I packed myself some snacks. And so I went, I ate my snacks. I didn't share them with her three little kids who kept trying to eat my snacks. Did not share them. Rude as can be, horrible me. And on my way home from like an hour away from this hockey game, I really wanted this one specific snack. So I stopped at all of the gas stations, any store that was open. Couldn't find my food. Couldn't find my food. But at every stop, I picked something else up and ate it before the next stop came. So, binging, binging, binging. That night, I got in the shower and I bawled. I was crying. I was hysterically crying and praying, God, why is it I can't stop eating? I feel like the rest of my life is great. I don't have a boyfriend, though, and it must be because of all of this eating. And my life is, I just want to stop eating. You haven't helped me with this. And so I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I'm not going to trust you. And the next morning, somewhere in my brain came Overeaters Anonymous. Mind you, I really don't believe I consciously ever heard somebody talk about Overeaters Anonymous, but this was God's entryway for me into this phenomenal program. So I Googled Overeaters Anonymous and I found that there was a meeting that night, local to me. And so I was like, what have I got to lose? I'll check this out. And so lo and behold, I found the meeting. It was in the basement of a church, and it was a step study meeting using OA literature, and they were on step two. And I bawled sitting in that room because here were people talking like they knew my language. They were talking like I do about food, what I do. They were sharing. And I was like blown away. So I went through traditional OA, if you will, and went through the steps. I got a sponsor. I didn't understand, for the longest time. I'm not somebody who asks for help, if you can believe it. And so I didn't understand what abstinent eating was. I didn't understand what a sponsor was, but I implied a lot. And eventually, after a few months, I was like, oh, I need somebody to help me because I was committing my food to somebody, but that was it. And I didn't feel any better than going to the pagan way. I was reading some literature and going to meetings, but that was about it. Honey. No, and I need you to go in your room. And so I, no, honey, there is ease. I'll help you in just a moment. I might go lock myself in the bathroom in a moment, folks. So I found somebody who had what I wanted, and I asked her to sponsor me. And I worked with this woman for 4.5 years. And we really went through the steps. We didn't use the big book yet. I didn't have that spiritual awakening yet, but I did have a spiritual awakening. I, by the grace of God, stopped compulsively overeating. And I had somebody I trusted to share all my deep, dark, dirty secrets with, and I felt safe and secure. And she taught me how to love myself. So that was then maybe, still the beginning of my experience and program. And after a few years, family happened, life happened, and I wanted a deeper connection. And I was kind of losing my spiritual connection. I again found a focus on a person and made them my God. Not a good idea. And so I lost some of my spiritual experience, but I never stopped coming to meetings. And I started going to big book step study meetings. I started going to a very solid daily meeting. And I was like, oh, I think I need this. But I was so scared to ask for help and ask someone else. Finally, I got up the courage and I did it. And so I worked through the steps through the big book with a recovered compulsive overeater. And this time, the difference was I made amends. I went through all 12 steps. Previously, I realized I stopped kind of at 9. Maybe 10, but more or less 9. And so the second sponsor that I work with really taught me how the big book is, in fact, a textbook. And I can get all my instructions through this book. And I started hearing and seeing other compulsive overeaters really living by this big book. In my traditional OA, there were like three or four of us who were recovered, and we didn't call ourselves recovered, but we had been through the steps. And like I said, I didn't really go through all of the steps, but most folks had been through the steps, and they were maintaining a healthy body weight and working with others and living in 10, 11, and 12. But it wasn't until I found a big book step study book, group and guide, sponsor, where I had the spiritual awakening, which relieved me of the true obsession, not only of food, but of people, places, and things. Because after that, I was able to really put God first in my life. I was able to look at the steps on a daily basis and go through and work every step on a daily basis. After a couple of years, I still maintain connection with some of these original traditional OAers. And one of them, we were very close. And at one point, there was this branch. There was we both worked through the big book, but we found it through different meetings. And so we had been talking and talking. And so she started going to this one meeting, and I started going to another meeting. We both went through the steps with the big book, but it was a slightly different, slightly different process of a fourth step is really the only difference that I see now today. So she went down that path, and I went down mine, and I wanted a deeper connection. I wanted a deeper connection with God. I had to continue to enhance my spiritual life. So called her up and had her sponsor me and went through the steps again through the big book. Powerful experience, powerful, powerful experience. And then I had thyroid cancer. So I've had pregnancies. I've had two types of cancers, and I have not picked up the food. Thank you, God. I have had pregnancies abstinent, and I have gone through recovery from cancer abstinently. But this second sponsor who brought me through the big book, she's still my sponsor today. And so I still continue to work with her on a regular basis, and I continue to bring others through the steps. But I went through a third time. So I found another slightly different format or way to go through the steps, through the big book. And I worked with another individual. This time it was actually a group of people, it was not just one. And so that's my most recent experience. And what did I go through after this experience? Well, I had brain cancer. And now I'm divorced. And so all of these stumbling blocks in life, if you will.
Honey, do you know I'm on a meeting?
Do you see some friends on the screen?
No.
Oh, you don't see them? There they
I
are.
still don't see them.
Oh, they're up top here. See?
I still don't see
You don't see them? Are you teasing me? They're even waving at you now.
them. I'm not teasing.
Okay. Well, I think you should go get Miss Elastigirl, and maybe she can help you see. Go grab her. She's in your room. Please. Go for it.
She can't see either.
Maybe Jack Jack can help then. Let me finish up. I'm
Jack
almost done
Jack
talking.
can't see either. It's a baby.
All right.
Babies can't see.
What's changed in me after going through all of these experiences, all of life? Is that I don't live in the place of trying to numb out.
That baby.
I get to show up imperfectly on a daily basis and do tens, more than 110. I have several friends in program that we leave messages,
Yes.
and sometimes it's a 10 and sometimes it's a check-in, but I can share with them anything because God knows my heart. I know them.
I want you.
And it's not a reason to compulsively overeat. And if I were to pick up the food, I don't know. I don't know if I have another recovery in me. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. I've recovered from thyroid cancer. I've recovered from brain cancer. Just got a divorce. Have two kids. Work full time. I'm a teacher. I love my life. You want to come sit on my lap? Okay. I get to live happy, joyous, and free because I can apply these steps to all of my life circumstances. It's not just about the food. You know, as I said most recently, it was about my relationship and it was about brain cancer. I knew I had a tumor. I had my tumor for 14 years. It wasn't doing anything. Every 4 years, I went and I had a scan. We weren't sure exactly what kind of tumor it was. We didn't know. But the risk didn't outweigh the benefit until it did. So when I started getting a divorce, I started having episodes where it was just a little funky. Life was just a little funky. But these kids and my health and my life. Hey, Will, I need you to not do that, please. Yeah. They're all more important to me. So I said, yes. Hey, bud. Well, you're not going to get me in until I'm done. And the fastest way I can finish is if you go in your room. So please, I'm going to count to three. One, two. Thank you. But the best way I get to show up now is not being clouded up here in my head. I get to show up and be present. And sometimes it certainly comes up like, oh gosh, yeah, I wasn't present today. But I'm not stuffing myself with the food. I do get into selfishness, self-seeking, and dishonest and afraid places. I get stuck. But picking up food, a bag or a box, is not an option. And most recently, the way that God has blessed me with a cleaner abstinence is before I met my ex, I would weigh and measure even when I went out to eat. It just felt so much better for me to weigh and measure. No matter what, I felt clean. I knew my body was getting what it needed to, according to a nutritionist, not according to Amy, not even according to my sponsor. We aren't specialists. I work with a nutritionist. I talk to her regularly. I commit my food. I do, you know, I communicate with my sponsor on a daily basis. I send her a nightly review. I send her a list of gratitudes and I send her my food. But human power is not going to fix this. Human power is not going to fix any of me. God needs to help me change. It's the inside out, right? And so, again, today I'm not obsessing about people, places, and things. I'm not obsessing about the food. Again, I weigh and measure when I go out to eat, even with friends. You know, not everything is weighable and measurable sometimes when you go out to eat. But I know where I'm going. I know my options. I get a box. And again, I feel such freedom. One of the other beautiful gifts of doing that again, so it's been like 3 months that I've really been doing that again consistently. My weight stayed the same. Not that it's about the weight, but previously I would go up or down a pound, maybe 2 pounds, you know, depending on different things. But I'm back to this place of, oh my gosh, my weight was the same for over a month. And then there was a fluctuation due to hormones. It wasn't huge. It was normal, quote, normal. And now I'm back at that normal weight again for more than a week. So it's like, God, I give all the credit to God because I'm willing. Now, this is my meditation and exercise room. So you guys have the treat. I wake up every morning. And I come in here and I have a hula hoop on the floor and I kneel down and I pray. I do the third step prayer. I do the set aside prayer and I do the seventh step prayer. And then I go sit in my papa's armchair and I write a Dear God letter. And then I do some daily readers. I used to try to do all my daily readers every day, but I have so many, it's impossible. So I've divided them up into 7 days. So each day of the week, I read some of my daily readers, and then I get to exercise in a healthy, appropriate way, not in a bulimic way, not in a controlling my weight way. And then this guy usually wakes up. I'm an early riser. I'm up at 4. He usually wakes up between 5 and 6, if I'm lucky. And then, you know, we go downstairs. I make my abstinent meal and we go about our day. I have emergency food in the car. That's abstinent food if ever I get into a jam and I need something on the go. Because I can eat in a car, but only if it's my weight and measured food. If it's not my weight and measured, if it's not weighed and measured, I need to stop and weigh and measure it somewhere. I have a scale in my lunchbox. I have a scale in my kitchen. I have a scale in my purse. Not that it's about the scale, but that's my experience, strength, and hope. I feel calm and at peace and tranquil when I'm doing that part. That's part
My
of my abstinence.
friends.
Okay. And, so I live my life. I'm on 11th step train. So every day, I work with an 11th step partner where we verbally share our 11th step. I'm on a 10th step train where every day I share, verbally a 10th step with another fellow. Things pop up. Nobody's perfect. Again, it's progress, not perfection when it comes to enhancing my spiritual life. And I'm not living on that perfection piece anymore either. That's a big character defect of mine. I do my 11th step nightly review. I have an app. I do it. I send it to my sponsor. I send it to a couple sponsees. And that's what I use the next morning when I talk to my 11th step train partner. And I use the tool of the phone. Like I said, I leave a lot of messages because life is busy and, kids don't understand even this, as we see, right? Yes. I know. So how do I make it work? Clearly this one's not, it's not working today. We've had a long day, but that's okay. Well, if you're going to be in here, you need to sit in that chair. Yeah, I know. But guys, I get to bring whatever food they want, into the house. I don't think about it. I don't obsess about it. I can touch it. I can move it. I can do whatever. That was never the case when I first started teaching. Hey, Will, that's really inappropriate.
I want
So I told you can sit on my lap or you can go watch your show. Do you want to sit on my lap? What would you like to do? Okay. I used to stop at a store on my way to work, to school, and I would, hey, bud, I'm going to count to three again, and you need to go take a break in your room. One, two, thank you, and three, thank you. I used to buy a ton of candy for my students, or I said it was for my students. I'd eat it all in the car before I made it into work. This Walgreens I would stop at wasn't even a block from the school. I mean, it was ridiculous. And now to be able to buy candy for them in a healthy way, they're not overeating it. I'm not touching it. It's beyond a gift from God because the noise up here doesn't happen. And when something is irritating me up here, I know to do a 10. And again, it doesn't happen quickly all the time or every time, but having these safety points in place, like the regular scheduled calls, working with others, speaking at meetings, reading my daily readers, replying to friends, it's all God's plan, not mine. And so I am very grateful that I got to share. And I'm gonna take a break talking because I think somebody else will quiet. And yeah, I'm so grateful for being here because it's but for the grace of God that I get to show up as a recovered compulsive overeater and that I get to show up at all. Because a year ago, I didn't know if I would. I didn't know if I was going to, but it still didn't give me a reason to pick up. And that's a gift. I can't even tell you. P.S. My grandmother has all false teeth because all of her teeth rotted out from all the sugar that she ate. And yes, it was during the Depression. And yes, dentist wasn't what it is today. And yes. But I mean, when I tell you this disease runs rampant in my family, it's crazy. There's a lot of history and there's a lot of Al-Anonic things too, but that's for a different time. And so with that, I pass. Thank you so much.